I want to call your attention this morning to Daniel chapter 9. We're continuing where we started on Wednesday night concerning Daniel's prayer for his country. Daniel's prayer for his country, a model for us. You can take it us as Grace Bible Church people, or you could take it U.S., United States, us. I think it's important for God's people to pray for this country. We ought to pray for this country. We ought to pray for our leaders. We ought to pray for our nation as a whole. But how should we pray? How should we uphold our nation before the Lord? I think this prayer recorded in Daniel chapter 9 serves as a model for us to help focus our hearts and minds upon the true important things that we need to pray for in regard to our nation. I want to begin reading at verse 3 this morning as we pick up the second point. We lay the foundation concerning the fact that we need to remember the greatness of our Lord any time that we go to Him in prayer. This isn't just when we pray for our nation, obviously, but any time that we go to Him in prayer, we need to recognize His greatness, His power. We need to tell Him that we love Him. Not just say, well, you know, I obey His commands. Doesn't He know I love Him? I don't think that's good enough. And it's quite interesting in these verses here that we're going to share that he makes a distinction between those who love him and those who obey or keep his commandments. It's not combined together in one thought, but rather two separate thoughts are given to us, two separate clauses here that emphasize a truth for us, that we need to do more than just obey his commands. You know, you can obey the Ten Commandments and die and go to hell. Do you understand that? You can obey the Ten Commandments. You can make sure you honor your mother and father. You can keep from stealing. You can not covet your neighbor's wife. You can do all of those things, as many religious people are trying to do this morning, and obey, quote unquote, the Ten Commandments and die and go to a devil's hell. You see, folks, you need to have your heart transformed by Jesus Christ. You need that heart of stone removed and have a heart of flesh put there that's soft and tender toward Him. And you and I have a responsibility to love our Savior, to love our Heavenly Father, to love Him where you can't wait to get into His Word, to love Him that you can't wait to talk with Him throughout the day. Do you talk to Him? As you're going throughout the day, just have a conversation with Him. Oh, it doesn't have to be verbalized. People start wondering about you. You start doing that, talking outside all the time. But I mean, just talking to Him mentally. Asking Him about certain situations or just stopping to praise His name. You know, Mr. Woods used a very good illustration this morning about Anna Warner, who was given this huge, I think it was a conch shell, that came to her from the East Coast, Atlantic Ocean. Beautiful, beautiful conch shell. And she looked at that and said, if God can build such an ornate house for a little one of His creatures, He can surely take care of me. He can surely take care of me. We were out on the beach the other day, and you know, when you go down and you're picking up shells, you're picking up creatures' houses, what they used to live in. And, you know, we go out there and we're just awestruck by the beauty of the little houses that God has built for His creatures to live in. And the ornate care of these shells. I mean, they're beauty. And you realize, you know, if the Lord has taken care of all of these little creatures that most of them I can't even see with my eye, naked eye, He's making sure across all the oceans of the world that all of His creatures are taken care of. And the little birds in the air that we look out our windows and we see feeding in our bird feeders or see them in their nest caring for their little eggs that they've laid there and they're waiting for them to hatch. God's taking care of all of them, and we're wringing our hands wondering how we're going to make it. Folks, we need to stop. And we need to thank the Lord for His everyday provision of our bread. Amen? He's taking care of His creatures. He'll take care of you. You're one of His creatures too. He'll make sure. But you know, He's given you a will. And you can determine with that will to praise and bring glory to His name and seek His face, or turn away from Him and go the opposite direction. That's your choice, and you got to live with the consequences of your choice. We laid that foundation on Wednesday night. Now we want to get into the second phase, and that's repentance of personal and national sins. Let's begin reading at verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned. Notice verse 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. Notice verse 11, please. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. And then notice verse 15. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought Thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten Thee renown as at this day, we have sinned. We have sinned. Folks, four times in this passage of Scripture, as he prayed to Jehovah God, four times he said, we have sinned. Now, I want you to notice what pronoun he used there. We. In verse 4, he said, I made my prayer, my confession, unto the Lord my God, and he says, we have sinned. Let me give you a little understanding and secret here. Not really a secret, but something that you and I need to keep in mind as we pray. You and I need to identify with the sins of our land. Think about Daniel. Was not Daniel a righteous man? If you were to go through the book of Daniel and what we have recorded for us in the Old Testament, and his name is mentioned outside of the book of Daniel, his name is mentioned in the book of Isaiah as a man who had a testimony for God. And you look at his life, is there anything in Daniel's life recorded in the writ of Scripture that would lead us to think that there was something wrong with Daniel's spiritual life? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, there is not one thing said against him. There are other characters in Scripture like that. Joseph's another one that just had purity of character. Now, they were not perfect. You understand that. But the Bible, the revelation of God, has not chosen to give to us anything that would say that Daniel had poor character. He was a man that loved God. Yet he says here in this passage, we have sinned. God deliver us from people that are quote-unquote Christians who say, Lord, I pray for America because they have sinned. You get the wrong pronoun in there, and God's not going to be interested in listening to you. He's interested in those who identify with their people. And this morning, folks, as citizens of heaven, but also as citizens of the United States of America, you and I need to realize that we have sinned. We have sinned. Daniel goes to God, and in His presence, as he begins his confession, he says these three words four times, we have sinned. But then he goes on to delineate these sins. They are seven in number. It's interesting that these seven sins are repeated over and over again in the minor prophets and also in the major prophets, the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah. You go through the minor prophets. These seven sins are identified over and over again as the reason why Judah went into captivity, why Israel went into bondage. Now, I want you to notice these, please. As he prays this prayer, he identifies what these sins are. And you and I need to think in regard to our nation. Are these true about the United States of America? Notice, please, We have sinned. In what way? We have committed iniquity. We have committed iniquity. This is a unique Hebrew word. Translated, it means to turn the wrong way. To have a map and yet turn the wrong way. Now think about that. You know, I appreciate now these new gizmos that they have for sale. I haven't bought one yet, but I'm going to get one of these days. But, you know, they have these little TomToms and Magellan, and there's a couple other different name brands, but the little TomTom there, and it's talking to you. You put into it where you're going, and it will talk to you while you're going. Turn right. Okay? You missed your turn, dummy. Go back. No, I don't think it says that. But anyway, it's talking to you. It's telling you. Now, here you are. You're going down the road, and it's talking to you. And you say, that TomTom, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And you keep on going, and you get lost. You get lost. Or you've got a map. We've got one of those big Walmart atlases, okay? And we've got the map in front of us, and we miss our turn. Now, it's easy to get mad at the map. You never can fold it right, first of all. So there must be something wrong with it from the get-go, right? They got so many creases, and you take that thing and you close it. They don't have that road on this map. That's there. You just can't find it. Because you didn't prepare for the trip. You didn't take time. I can figure this out. I can go. And you miss your turn. You miss where you're supposed to get off. And you end up lost. Now, whose fault is that? Is it the map's? No. The problem is with us. And this Hebrew word, unique word, it has the idea to have directions and yet go the wrong way. Could you say that about America? Can we say that about America today? We have the instructions. We have the directions. And yet officially, our nation has said this book is not welcome in the public school system. 1963. 1962, Supreme Court ruled that it was illegal for public prayers to be held in the public school. Folks, we have the directions, but we're going the wrong way. That's what Daniel said. Israel had the directions. We had the instructions from God, and yet we willfully went our own way, the wrong way. That's iniquity, folks. Iniquity, simply put, is lawlessness. It's lawlessness. It's saying, I know that's the way you say to go, but I'm going to go this way. You can't make me go that way. Iniquity. Number two, he says in his prayer, and have done wickedly. And have done wickedly. Interesting word in the Hebrew. It means to be tossed with various evil passions. A restless conscience. A restless conscience. Wickedness. You know, Isaiah put it this way by a pen of inspiration. He compared the wickedness of nations as the foaming of the ocean on the seashore. Have you ever been down there on the seashore whenever it is really, I mean, the waves are coming in and the foam begins to build up? We see this especially during a tropical storm or with a hurricane out in the Gulf, where the Gulf gets to going so greatly with its wave action that foam begins to build up, and that foam is brown. It's filthy. And all through that foam is the filth and the mire. Maybe it's got oil in it from the passing boats or diesel fuel or whatever, but it's been brought in by the storm and it just foams and coagulates on the shore. That's what God says concerning the wickedness of the nations. It's like the foaming of the sea, foaming up its slime, foaming up its filth. That's wickedness. Tossed with various evil passions, very little self-control. Can we say that about America? Can we say that we have passions, evil passions that are out of control these days? Now, folks, we love sinners. Don't get this wrong from this pulpit. We love the sinner, but we despise the sin. And God calls it an abomination. So we're not going to call it by a lesser term. Wickedness. Number three, what does he say as he prays this prayer? And have rebelled. And have rebelled. Interesting to think about this word rebellion. It means to revolt from the government of a lawful sovereign. To revolt from the lawful government of a lawful sovereign. And who did Daniel have in mind? God. God. He had served for 70 years, serving different kings, four different sovereigns he lived through there in Babylon, serving his final one. And the reason that he was there and had been brought there as a young teenager was because that Israel and Judah had turned their back upon the sovereign God of the universe. And they said, "We will not follow in thy ways." The last few kings of Israel and of Judah said, "We will not follow after thee. We will make confederation with the nations all around us, and they will protect us." And what happened? They didn't protect them. They turned on them. And as a result, the Babylonians came in. They took Judah captive. And Daniel was one of those boys that went off into captivity away from his parents to live his entire life in captivity. And one of the reasons for that was the rebel attitude of the people of Israel. The rebel heart. The rebel always goes directly opposite of whatever God says. Have you ever met people like that along life's road? Maybe you're a person like that. I don't know. That whatever God says, I'm going to do the exact opposite. God says go this way, I'm going to go that way. God says to go this way, I'm going to go this way. Whatever God says, I'm going to do the exact opposite. Daniel cried out to God and said, "Oh God, we own the fact. We have sinned because we have rebelled against you. We have gone the opposite direction from whatever you've told us to do." Is this true of America? I want to bring you to a fourth word that's untranslated here. A fourth word that appears in our text, but is untranslated in this sense. Notice, please. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts. In this word departed here are two Hebrew thoughts. Two Hebrew thoughts. Number one, unfaithfulness. And number two, apostasy. Two words combined in one in the Hebrew understanding here. Unfaithfulness. When a man is unfaithful to his wife, where does it begin? Right here. It begins in his heart. When Mark Sanford was unfaithful to his wife, governor of South Carolina, where did it begin? It began in his heart when his eye started to wander. This friend of the family became more than a friend. He was unfaithful to his wife at that moment. That's the picture here in this Hebrew word. Unfaithfulness leading to departure. Unfaithfulness leading to a heart that turns away from the one that should be loved to another who should not be loved. Unfaithfulness, that's the next one. Unfaithfulness to deal treacherously. Criminal deceit. It's a sin against love. It's a sin against love. Here's a husband and wife married, joined together in matrimony, and they are to love each other and they're not to look at anybody else. Isn't that what marriage is all about? I know that's not depicted in Hollywood anymore. It hasn't been since it began. It's not what's depicted today in our rock culture. It's not what's depicted in the halls of government anymore. But it's what God says in His Word. The Bible says that a man is to leave his mother and his father, and he is to what? Cleave unto his wife. That means be joined together, inseparable. The only thing that can separate the two is death. That's the picture. Death. Now, here was Israel, and here was God, and God moved toward Israel and chose her among all the nations of the earth and said, "You will be mine." And he joined himself unto Israel. But you know what Israel did? Israel had a wandering eye. Israel was constantly looking around all the other nations around the earth, and they said, "We want to be like other nations. We want to have a king. We want to be like the other nations. We want to worship their gods. We want to be like the other nations. We want our boys to marry their girls and their girls to marry our boys." She fought and she despised her marriage vow. And so God said, "All right, I'm going to send you away. I'm going to send you away for 70 years and I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to show my great love for you." You know, it's interesting, folks, that Israel still has a heart that's turned away from God. It still has a heart turned away from God. And I want us to think about America. God has shed His grace on America. And what has been America's answer? We have despised our foundations. We have despised our foundations. Where we have taken separation of church and state and we have made it to mean something that the founding fathers never intended it for it to mean. It was simply meant that government would not intrude into religion. That religion would have its free course and be able to worship whatever they wanted to worship and whoever they wanted to worship. But now they've meant it to say, "Oh, government can never say anything. They can't say Jesus." Oh, you can say other religions. Isn't that interesting? But don't you say Jesus Christ. Don't say His name. Don't say God. No reference to the God of the Bible. Separation of church and state. That's not what the founding fathers intended. What's happened? We've left our foundation. We have been unfaithful. Unfaithful. Unfaithfulness always begins in the heart, folks. And sometimes it takes time for that unfaithfulness in the heart to manifest itself. But it's there nonetheless. And this Hebrew word carries that part, the first part, unfaithfulness, treacherous heart that doesn't love God. Oh, it's going through the motions. Israel never stopped going through the motions of her worship. She was worshiping right up to the time the Babylonians came in and took her captive. They were still offering sacrifices. They were still burning incense 24 hours a day. They were still baking the unleavened bread to put out. They were going through all the motions. But the Bible says their heart was far from them. They were treacherous, unfaithful. And then we look at number 5, the latter part of that Hebrew word, departure. Departure, Daniel said, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. That unfaithful heart finally led to the point. He said, "I'm going to make my break. I'm going to make my break. I'm going to do what I really want to do. I'm no longer going to be a hypocrite saying that I love God and all the things that He wants me to do. I'm going to break with that and I'm going to depart and move away from Him." That's the picture that's given to us here. Even by departing from what? Thy precepts and from thy judgments. This book, they departed from it. How about America? Where do we stand today? I think we've departed from this book. Let's go on. Notice, please, failure to heed the voice of the prophets. Notice this, please. Verse 6, "Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of this land." Here you have from government all the way down to the poorest citizen mentioned here in this verse of Scripture. We have not listened. We have not heard. what the prophets had to say. You were faithful, Lord. When you saw our hearts turning away from Thee, You sent Your prophets to warn us. You sent Your prophets to tell us, hey, turn back to God. Go back to His Word. It's like someone giving directions in a parking lot at the T-Ball World Series. Every year we have those that don't want to cooperate. We'll be out there and one of the kids will call up and say, this car wants to do what he wants to do. So Mr. Roger or Mr. Smith or one of the others have to go over there and say, excuse me, you can't park here. This is a handicapped parking zone. Well, that's too far for me to walk. Do you have a handicapped parking sticker? No, then you can't park in this spot. People that refuse to follow directions. They will not heed. That's what Daniel said concerning his country. My country has not listened. From the kings to the princes to the fathers of the land and to all the people of the land. Four people groups within the land have not listened to your word from the mouths of the prophets. How about our land? God has raised up through the generations preachers all across this land to proclaim God's Word. There was a whole series that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. did in the late 1920s and 30s, even through the war years, about the perils of America. Perils of America. He went around from church to church, tabernacle to tabernacle, all across this land, exposing the sins of America. And those sins that he preached about in the 20s and 30s and 40s have come home to roost, have they not? Where now we have open unfaithfulness to God's Word. We have a complete turning away from the testimonies of Jesus Christ. Where ridicule against the Word of God is the normal course of action in government, in the film industry, whatever you want to call it. It's ridicule against this book. That wasn't the case even way back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. They still respected God's Word, but they've turned away from that. Failure to heed the prophets. This was God's way of showing love. God's way of showing love. I want you to turn back. I'm going to send out my prophets to warn you so you can come back to me, but you didn't heed their warnings. And that brings us to the seventh and final one. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against Thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His ways, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Here's the seventh sin, complete and total disobedience to the Word of God. Complete and total. Every action of government was in disobedience. Every attitude of man's heart was only disobedience continually. That was the world testimony before the flood. Every thought and imagination of the heart was only evil continually. That's the way it had become in Judah. And folks, that's the way it's becoming in the United States of America. These are the seven most deadly sins that a nation could commit. These are repeated throughout the Old Testament scriptures. These seven sins: iniquity, wickedness, rebellion, unfaithfulness, departure from God's precepts, failure to heed the prophets, and disobedience to God's voice and His laws, a refusal to hear, a complete rejection of His love. These seven deadly sins will result in judgment for any nation that turns its back upon the testimony of God's Word. And this leads Daniel to complete his prayer. Notice, please, in verses 11 through 14, his request for God to turn away his anger, fury, and wrath from the nation of Israel, that she might once again enjoy the favor of God. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake unto us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done unto Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yea, made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth? Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. For we obeyed not his voice. Daniel cries out to God, and he asks God that he might turn away his anger and his fury and his wrath, that he might once again bring his people unto himself. And this plea, by the way, is not based upon Israel's righteousness, but rather upon God's righteousness and his mercy. Notice verse 18. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies, plural. Hesed is the Hebrew word there. It means loving kindnesses. Lord, we cry out to thee not because we deserve this, not because we are righteous, but rather because you're righteous and you are merciful. Prayer of repentance and a request for God to turn away his wrath. There's a threefold plea that I want to leave you with as we close our service this morning in verse 19. This threefold plea of Daniel: O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Three requests that Daniel prays for. These are three requests that you and I need to pray in behalf of the United States of America. O Lord, hear our prayer. O Lord, forgive us of our sins. And finally, O Lord, hearken and do it. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. That should be our prayer. But you know what? This prayer follows what? It follows a prayer of repentance. You can't skip the middle part and go to the end. It's not like a book. You can go down and buy a book and you can read the beginning and jump to the end and read the end of it. Or you can go down and buy some of these cliff notes and get the gist of the story. But I want to tell you something. If you're going to get serious in prayer for this country, you're going to have to repent. And the repentance starts with us. And then it moves to the U.S. It starts with us. And then it moves to the U.S. If we're not willing to identify with the sins of our country, then God's not going to be interested in hearing your prayer. Your prayer is selfish. We have a responsibility, folks, to pray for the United States of America. Our prayer should begin with remembrance of God and His holiness and His greatness and His power that is manifested to them who love Him and that keep His commandments. And then as Daniel's prayer goes on, as he repents of the sin of the nation and of himself, we have sinned. And he lists the seven deadly national sins that they had committed. And then finally, at the end of his prayer, he cries out to God that he might be merciful. Not because Israel deserves it, because God is holy and righteous, and God can bring his holiness to bear in behalf of the nation and exhibit mercy. Folks, what America needs this morning is mercy. We need God's mercy. His grace has already been shed. What we need is His mercy, pity, to deliver us out of our sin. Let us pray, Father in heaven. Lord, on this weekend in which we remember the birth of our nation, we cry out to Thee with thankful hearts for all that You have done for America. Lord, You have indeed shed Your grace upon this great land. Its founding was based in the pilgrims who came across the ocean because they wanted freedom to worship Thee according to conscience. They wanted freedom to study the Bible without being told what the Bible was saying. That they could go with the presence of the Holy Spirit and understand the truths of Your Word. They came to America because they wanted their children to be reared without the influences of the worldliness of Holland and England. And Lord, the birthplace of our country grew to understandings and principles upon which our nation was founded. Father, we thank You this morning for the great mercy that You have given to us, the great grace. And Lord, we confess our sins before Thee this morning. We are a nation that is deep in iniquity and wickedness and rebellion. Lord, we've not listened to the preaching of Your Word. We have turned aside from the prophets. We've turned aside from obedience to Thy Word. And Lord, we cry with Daniel, O Lord, hear us. O Lord, forgive us. O Lord, do it. Lord, we cry out to Thee this morning with these thoughts from Daniel's prayer. And we pray for our nation and hold it before Thee. And we ask for mercy. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.